Last week we began a study on a very important psalm in the Bible, and we're going to spend a number of weeks looking at this psalm, and it's Psalm 23. You may turn there in your Bibles at this time. The title of my message this morning is God's antidote for busyness. We live in a world that we face a lot of pressures. We are being bombarded in a variety of different ways. And the challenges are great, the pressures are great, but we serve an awesome God. And I want to draw your attention to that this morning. Really, I could call this series that we're looking at this morning stress busters, because we all face stress in life, stress of one kind or another, and we need to deal with those issues as they come along our way. So stress busters are, you can see on this picture here, there's a lot of different stresses that can hit each one of us at some point or another. We're going through the 23rd Psalm and looking at ways we can relieve some of that stress. Psalm 23 is all about releasing the burdens you were never intended to bear. May I repeat that? Psalm 23 is all about releasing the burdens that you were never intended to bear. Last week we looked at the problem of worry, and we found out God's antidote for worry in verse 1. And we read these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You see, it's by making the Lord your shepherd that you're going to be able to cope with the worries that will flood our minds from time to time. All of us will face those things. But today we want to focus our attention on this whole topic of busyness. Busyness. How many would say that you yourself are a very busy person? Would you raise your hand? Face busyness. Yes, I see a number of hands there. Usually when I bump into people and converse with them on the street or in the mall, wherever it may be, briefly, they invariably tell me how busy a people they are, how busy an individual they are. They will start out by rattling off a list of activities they plan to do or they find very necessary to do. I think we Canadians are busier than ever before. I think we are. Busyness has become an epidemic in our lives, isn't it? It's become an epidemic proportions. Let me give you an example. Just take the dinner time, for example. The picture of the family sitting down at, say, 5 o'clock in the evening or 6 o'clock in the evening and eating a home-cooked meal together has almost disappeared. It has. More Canadians are eating their meals in restaurants than ever before. The words, "let's just grab something to eat," and maybe you've made that statement, I know we have at times. Even those words carry with it the sense of busyness in our lives. Did you know that some fast food establishments, especially down in the States, don't like to think of themselves as restaurants, but instead they like to think of themselves as stores? Isn't that interesting? By calling themselves stores, it gives the impression that they're not a place to go and enjoy a meal, but are a place where you go to shop for a meal. And there's a difference, isn't that? Many of the fast food places keep records of the amount of time it takes the customer to place the order until the food is delivered into their hands. They got it down to a science. They know how long it takes. The goal is to get as many customers through, quote, the store as fast as they can in the least amount of time. This is another example of how busy a people we are. A recent poll said that 59% of people would like to slow down and would like to relax. Well, what's God's antidote for this whole problem of busy lives? Is he interested? Does he care about the fact that we have this very busy, busy schedule on our plates? Well, I think we do find part of that answer, at least, in Psalm 23 and verse 2. Psalm 23 and verse 2. Very familiar words. You probably can quote them from memory. It goes this way: He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You see, the prescription for pressured people today is what? It could be summed up in a five-letter word. You know what that five-letter word is? R-E-L-A-X. Relax. This morning I want us to stretch out that word relax and make it into an acrostic to unpack God's antidote for busyness. So the first letter you'll find in the word relax can represent the word realize. What do we need to realize? We need to realize God wants you to get adequate rest. Did you know that? That's a top priority in his thinking. He wants you to get adequate rest. It's part of his plan for your life. The only way that you can really enjoy life as God would have you to is by getting enough rest. It's important. The only way that you will have enough energy to effectively make it through another day is to take the time to rest. You see, that's the way God designed you, and that's the way he designed me. He doesn't want us to keep go, go, go. We maybe get caught up in that, but that's not what he wants for us. I want us to pause for a moment and look at Psalm 127 and verse 2. Notice what it says here. It is what? Useless. What's useless? To rise early and go to bed late, and work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know God enjoys giving rest to those he loves? What a verse. I trust you'll take that home with you today. Do you remember the proverb by Benjamin Franklin? Maybe you didn't know he composed this proverb, but early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. How does that start? Remember the first word, early to bed. In other words, get some rest. Get some rest. Psalm 127 says it pretty plainly too, doesn't it? It says it is useless to rise early and go to bed late. And work your worried fingers to the bone. Don't you know that God enjoys giving rest to those he loves? That's a powerful statement. That's a statement that we need to really get a hold of and apply to our lives, don't we? You see, God never intended us to work ourselves to death. Never his plan. That's not the way he designed us. God never intended for people to work 7 days a week. He never did. Look at Exodus chapter 23 and verse 12. Notice what it says. It says, 6 days you do your work, but on the seventh day, do not work, so that your ox and your donkey may rest, so that the slave born in your household and the foreigner living among you may be refreshed. See, you need 1 day out of seven to get refreshed. Don't neglect that. You'll pay a price if you do. You know, sometimes we take a course going to work very, very seriously. We would never miss a day of work. But I wonder how many put on their top priority list coming to God's house for worship. That's part of what the seventh day is all about. You need it for your own spiritual well-being. Not just as a rule. It's more than a rule. It's a necessity for your own spiritual well-being. And if you don't do it, you will pay a price at some point, spiritually speaking. And also, if you have a family, it will affect your kids because they're watching you. If you neglect going to church, you know what that says to them? Church isn't very important. I don't need that spiritual feeding. And you know what will happen? They'll follow your pathway and do the same thing when they get older and they leave home. And it will badly affect the life of your family at some point. It's something that we need, and God has put it into His plan that we would spend that time. Let me give you a word of warning about your day of rest. It's found in Mark 2, verse 27. Then Jesus said to them, "The Sabbath was made to meet the needs of the people, and not the people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath," because we have needs, deep needs inside that need to be met, whether we realize them or not. What this means is that the Sabbath is there for your benefit, not the other way around. God knows that you need rest in order to get recharged and revitalized. Not only recharged physically, but spiritually as well. His will is to keep you healthy, mentally, spiritually, and physically. You need such rest so that you can be refreshed. So realize God wants you to rest. Don't miss out on the blessing. You're the loser if you do. The second letter in the word relax is the letter E. This letter also helps us to understand how we can experience God's antidote for busyness. I want the letter E to represent the word evaluate. Evaluate. What are we to evaluate? Here's what we need to evaluate. You need to evaluate your choices. We all face choices in life. Every day we face choices. In our society, there's an explosion of choices out there for all of us. We now have more opportunities available to us than we ever did before. On TV, we have more channels that we can watch. We have in the stores more products that we can buy. In our society, we have more activities to participate in than we ever did before. We are bombarded, friends, with choices every single day of our lives. Like what we will wear, what we will eat, where will we buy a particular item we're interested in purchasing, what social activities we will be involved in or will get our kids involved in. You see, some choices for us are very simple to make. But there are other choices that are far, far more complicated. And if we make the wrong decision, can have serious consequences down the road of life. So how are we to adequately make those right choices? How are we even to evaluate which is the best decision for that particular time in our life? Let me give you four questions. Four questions to ask yourself, and I think they will help you to evaluate in making those choices. First question, is it helpful? That's a much deeper question than you'd think in first saying it. It's a very deep question. Is it really helpful the way God would want it to be helpful for you? Question number two, does it bring me under its power? Does it bring me under its power? Question number three, does it hurt other people? If it hurts other people, we need to be careful what we do. Question number four, does it glorify God? I like 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. It says this, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. That's a good principle, isn't it? By using these four questions, it will help you to make choices in life, and you'll be better for it. So number one, realize God wants you to rest. That's what we looked at already. Number two, be sure and evaluate carefully your choices. The next letter in the word relax is the letter L. This letter also helps us to understand how we can experience God's antidote for busyness. I want that letter to remind you to limit your labor. Limit your labor. You see, each one of us must set aside time to do other things besides work. Here are a few things that come to mind. Don't neglect your time alone with God. Don't neglect your time with the family. For my off day, I find Friday to be the best day of the week for me. Sunday obviously isn't because I'm very busy on Sundays. So I take Friday as the day off. I like to come in on Monday to the office so I can get a jump start on Sunday's sermon, as well as make any phone calls or other office work that may need to be done. By Thursday, I try to have everything ready for the weekend. So Friday seems to be the best day for me to take off. I need time off from work just like everybody else does. If I find myself sometimes working every day of the week, and sadly to say that has happened, I soon realize, you know what I realize? That I actually made a dumb decision. I made a dumb decision because I don't have the same energy to fulfill what God has called me to do. You see, that is not what God intended for our lives, to be busy, 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 going all the time. Let me use an illustration from the field of music. Think of the violin, for example. If the bow of the violin is never unstrung, we're told, it will soon lose its power. It will soon lose its power. It has to be unstrung from time to time. Look at what it says in Exodus 20, verses 8 and 9. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you are to labor and do all your work. See, God says that one day off a week should be the pattern for your life. This is the fourth commandment of the Big Ten. That commandment is so important that you'll notice it's right there with thou shalt not murder. That's how serious God takes this importance of having quality time and having that day of rest. Every seventh day, take a day off. If you're not taking a day off, you're actually breaking the Ten Commandments. Sabbath means a day of rest. What should you do on your day of rest, on your Sabbath? Well, there are three things. They all start with the letter R. Rest your body. You do need to rest your body. Number two, recharge your emotions. Oh, we face so many pressures, so many challenges of life. If I were able to sit down and talk with you this morning, you poured out your heart to me. I'm sure that your emotions at some times have been at the very highest peak. The pressures are there. They're strong. And your emotions are at a thin edge. Number three, refocus your spirit. You need to spend time with the Lord. So what is God's antidote for busyness? What have we learned thus far? Well, realize God wants you to rest. Number two, evaluate your choices. Number three, limit your labor. And now we come to the fourth letter in the word relax. It's the letter A. This letter also helps us to understand how we can experience God's antidote for busyness. I want that letter to represent the word adjust. You need to adjust your values. You need to adjust your values. Do you remember the famous story in the Bible? It's found in Mark's Gospel. As Jesus went out into the street to connect with people, find that a man came running up to him one day and with great reverence, and in fact he asked, "Good teacher, good teacher, I have a question for you. What must I do to get eternal life?" And what was Jesus' response? "You know the commandments," Jesus said, "do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not lie, do not cheat, honor your father and mother," and all those that he listed. The man said, "Teacher, I've done all these things from my youth. Kept them all." Jesus looked him straight in the eye, because he knew what his real problem was. He said, and Jesus said he loved him too, you notice in that passage. Jesus then said, "There's one thing left. Go sell whatever you own and give to the poor and come follow me." He wasn't ready to do that. He wasn't prepared to give his all. The man's face clouded over. That was the last thing he expected to hear. And what did he do? He walked off with a very heavy heart. I mean, God's not going to ask all of us to do that kind of thing, but this was the need in this man's life. And he needed to address it. He was holding on to a lot of things that he needed to hold loosely. And of course, that story is found in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 to 22. Do you know what that story is all about, really, though, and when it comes down to the nitty-gritty? It's the story about the importance of adjusting your values. From time to time, we need to take a look at what we place as being very valuable and adjust them as God would lead us. In order to reduce busyness in my life, I must change my thinking about what is important. So what have we learned thus far? Realize God wants you to rest. Evaluate your choices. I want to have these points just, that's why I'm repeating them, so they'll stick in our minds this morning. Limit your labor. Adjust your values. The last letter in the word relax is the letter X. This letter also helps us to understand how we can experience God's antidote for busyness. See, I want that letter X to represent the word exchange. Exchange. You notice I've emphasized the X there by making it a capital letter. Exchange your pressure for God's peace. That's what he wants you to have. This gets us to the very root of stress. You see, there are three types of fatigue. There's physical fatigue. That's when you experience a tired body and you know you need to lay down and need to have a rest. But you know, as I talked with someone today, they said that, you know, they were very, very tired. But they couldn't sleep. Because they got overtired. You know, I found that I've had that happen to me too. When I've been go, 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 and I've got overtired. When I lay down to sleep, I can't get to sleep. My mind is spinning. It's going 100 miles an hour. As I think back over all the things that need to be done. It's a challenge, isn't it? We need physical. We face physical fatigue. And then there's emotional fatigue. That's a step up. Another one. Where you experience tired emotions. Our emotions can get us really down. We can become really out of sorts. And then there's spiritual fatigue. When we experience that dryness of spirit. Have you experienced that in your life? A dryness? Maybe you're experiencing that today. This is the deepest type of fatigue. You may need a vacation, but that will not help you with the last two. You need more than just time off to deal with your emotions and your spirit. You need a close relationship with God. You need to feel God's presence in your life in a real and in a special way. However, as Christians, from time to time, we also need to see that we need to nurture that relationship with God, or else we'll feel that God is far, far away from us. Look at Psalm 23, verse 2 again. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. You know what I want you to circle in your mind, if you don't like to circle anything in your Bible? Circle the word, He makes me. He makes me. You see, that's what our good shepherd, the Lord Jesus, will do if we put Him in control. If we fail to take the initiative to get adequate rest, He may come along and make sure we do get it. We may not appreciate it at that moment, but He knows what we need. And He doesn't do it to be judgmental. He knows that our body needs it. And so sometimes He will make us lie down. Listen, a little child typically doesn't like to lie down and rest. Did you know that? When I was growing up as a child, my parents said, we'd often Sunday afternoon, because we weren't allowed to do very much on Sunday afternoon. And my parents would come along and say, you need to lie down and rest in the afternoon. As a child, that was the last thing in my mind. I didn't want to rest. I wanted to be out doing something. Well, remember, resistance to rest, you know what it is? It is a mark of immaturity. Did you know that? It's a mark of immaturity. God wants us to rest. He knows we need rest. He made the human body in such a way that it would need rest. Eventually, if we don't get enough rest, there'll be some serious consequences that will occur in our bodies. So take life at His pace. I would encourage you to do that. Take life at His pace. The only way you can do that is by putting God completely in charge of your life. Put Him in complete charge. Yes, you can see here from Psalm 23, verse 2, that this is a word of advice for the overly busy, isn't it? Why not let the Lord and be your pace setter? Don't let somebody else be your pace setter. Let the Lord be your pace setter. He knows what you can handle. If you do, you don't have to rush. If you put Him in charge, He will make you take rest breaks in order to refresh your soul. He will provide opportunities for you to experience a calming of the mind. He will provide opportunities where you will be able to calm your spirit. He will provide opportunities for you to refresh your body. He will lead you in a way that is pleasing to Him. And when you think that there is too much for you to handle, lay it on the line before the Lord. And He'll assure you that He'll be by your side and he'll show you ways of maybe where you can cut back. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fuss. He will show you how you might experience much needed rest in the midst of a very busy schedule. The end result will be that you will be recharged. And don't we need to be recharged from time to time? You will thus be refocused and you will be restored. The blessings he gives us as a result will cause you to be filled with joy. As a result, you will experience an effectiveness and an efficiency that so far may have eluded you as an individual. That will only happen, though, as you are willing to walk this journey of life at whose pace? At his pace. You see, we all need a pace setter in our lives so we don't go too fast, so we don't go too slow. And the only person wise enough to set your pace is Jesus Christ. Because he knows you, friend, inside out. He does. He knows what you can handle. He knows the speed that you need to go. And when you live with God at the center of your life, you will have rest and refreshment that you need in order to adequately face all of the pressures of life that will come your way. Our closing hymn sums it up quite nicely. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. Perhaps it's time for you to do some evaluating on whether you're living in that place of quiet rest near his heart. And if not, what are you going to do about it? Let's sing our closing hymn.